With us in the studio today is Philip Runkle, the State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Director of the Michigan Department of Education. 355-WKAR is our phone number if you have questions or comments about Michigan public schools or education issues in general. Dr. Runkle, welcome to the program.
Pleasure to be here.
Thanks for coming, making yourself available. 355-WKAR is our phone number. 355-9527 is that number, all in digits. We're talking about education today with the man ultimately responsible for instruction in Michigan public schools, Philip Runkle. Before we get right into talking about the quality of education in public schools, there's one question I have to ask you. Let's get it right out of the way. It's been widely reported that you are a candidate for the job of Michigan State University president, Cecil Mackey's replacement. Our audience especially, I think, is very curious about this. What will you say?
Well, the search is a confidential search at this time. So I have, when been asked about that, said that I have no comment. I obviously want to see this great university complete that search and hire the most competent president they can possibly hire. So until things change, I would maintain that stance.
What do you mean, until things change?
Well, ultimately, they may reduce down to a number of candidates, and then I think I might speak on the issue, but I don't intend to at this time.
Mm-hmm. So if you're on a narrowed down list...
If I would be a person that might be interviewed for the... Then I think it would be public, and then I would speak on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, what if it came down to them offering you the job? Is that a job you think you'd like to accept?
Well, I would say only this, that I am a graduate of Michigan State. My father is a graduate of Michigan State. I hold this university in high esteem, and obviously I live in East Lansing, so I obviously am interested in what goes on here. To say what I would do, I suppose, I think would be premature at this time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you for that much comment anyway. 355-WKAR is our phone number. Philip Runkle is with us, State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Director of the Michigan Department of Education. We're talking about Michigan public schools today and education issues in general. An issue I'd like to hear you discuss is discipline. President Reagan has taken the position that more discipline is probably one of the biggest things needed to improve education in the country. Even the Detroit Teachers Union, the Detroit Federation of Teachers, says that discipline and not more pay is their major concern.
Let me kind of respond to that, I think, in a general way, that probably during the 70s, discipline... became a rather serious problem in American schools, and the citizens have identified that, and the Gallup poll is a serious problem. What we've seen, I think, in the last few years is a pretty dramatic turnaround. That discipline, that I visit schools all over the state, discipline becomes less of a problem, and I think is pretty much handled more effectively than it has in the past. Now, obviously, in urban areas, there many times are more problems, and they become focal points when they become newspaper articles, etc.
When kids start shooting each other and knifing
really,
each other.
I think what you have to remember, though, that when discipline problems come generally from outside the schools, they are generally society problems. If we lose respect for each other in the workplace, or if crime... as rampart, many of those issues will work inside of the school. So the school generally is a reflection, behavior patterns are a reflection of the society in general. Now, you and I both know that in order to have an effective school, you have to have a learning environment where students can learn. You can't have disruptions, you can't have broad disturbances, because learning requires concentration, it requires a climate where you can learn effectively. We are doing several things this year. We really don't have as good a database as we would like to have in the state of Michigan on what actually occurs in discipline. We want to collect data and then develop a strategy of how to deal with that, probably develop what I would like to see us develop is what we call a school climate center or a safety center, where districts can get assistance when they have particular kind of problems that may be going on in the classroom.
What kind of data would you collect?
Well, I think you collect data on suspensions and expulsions, on the kinds of incidences that occur. So we have an overall database in Michigan. Detroit has done some of that because they've been under a desegregation order, but we don't have good data in the state on that. In terms of the president, addressing this issue. You know, obviously it's a pertinent issue. It's been identified in the Gallup poll, but as I want to say in summary, that in my judgment, the last 3 years to 4 years, it has become less of an issue, and generally discipline has been improving rapidly in the public schools.
Mm-hmm. And are you saying that that's because something has been done to address it, or just
the society at large?
Thing?
I think what you find, it's a societal kind of problem. As students now are more serious, they recognize that an education is going to be the key to their future, a goodly number of them, and that to waste that is not going to be valuable for them.
You really think kids have grown-up ideas
I
like
think
that?
Kids, we have, of course, we meet with about 13,000 students during the school year this year in a program called Project Outreach. And I wish you could visit with these young people because you'd be very impressed. This year, for the first time, we are placing two part-time students on our staff. They will be attending Michigan State University's graduates of the high schools of Michigan, and they're going to work with the legislature and the board on reflecting students' opinions about schools. But
how can outstanding kids like that, special kids, actually speak for most of the rest of them?
I think they can. They can because they really know what needs to happen in many cases. So we think they can. These are student leaders, these 13,000, but we also are now putting on some workshops for other kind of students that may not be successful as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 355-WKAR is our phone number. State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Philip Runkle, is with us today to answer your questions about Michigan Public Schools. Good morning. You're on Morning Edition. Phone in.
Good morning. Let's talk about a fundamental problem. How serious, Mr. Runkle, is the literacy problem in Michigan among the adult population?
I appreciate that call because yesterday we launched what we consider a major drive, the first in the nation, to do what we can to eradicate adult literacy. We feel there are about 800,000 or about 15% of the adult population are functionally illiterate.
What does that mean?
That means they cannot, they may be able to read, but they can't, it's really affecting their ability to perform in our society in many ways, mathematics skills, reading, etc. So we kicked off a drive at Michigan State University yesterday, and it was on the front page of two of the major newspapers in the state. So we think it is a serious problem, and we think that we ought to address it. And we're going to try to have volunteers work on a tutorial basis. We're going to look at our adult education programs. We have some 60,000 students, we're going to look at ways that we can work in the communities, wherever, churches, factories, wherever we can try to eradicate this problem. And we'll need a lot of volunteers. You may call Ron Gillum's office in the State Department of Education if you're interested in that. But we think we can attack it, and we ought to do that.
Okay, does that answer your question?
Was that individual Ron Gillman?
Ron Gillum.
Gillum.
I don't have his number, but you can call 373-3354, and they will switch him to that number.
Okay, thank you much.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
355-WKAR is our phone number. Just a little bit more about this functional illiteracy. Could you describe what a functionally illiterate person could or couldn't do?
Well, obviously, the ability to, as you live, first of all, let's talk about our society. We live in a changing society, and literacy, at one time, literacy was not as much of a problem, because if you're doing massive physical things, it would not be as much of a problem. Now you move into the information society, where you have to communicate, you have to be able to write, you even use word processors to write, other things. This person will have difficulty doing these kinds. A person will have difficulty doing these kinds of things. And even to compute the very simple kinds of things, in order to even manage your home, those kinds of things can be very helpful. Now many people go through life without being able to read. I have a friend who lives in northern Michigan who's very successful. He really didn't have an opportunity to go to school very much. He would, I think, like to learn to read. I know he can't read because he's told me so. But he's successful. He works every day. Now, if he could really learn to read and do some other things, I think he could really enrich himself much more because he really has a lot of potential. He happens to be a tradesman. But with that kind of skill, he would make him, I think, a more effective person. Now, I would say he's a functional illiterate.
Mm-hmm. Well, these 800,000 people, I think you said, that were identified as functionally illiterate, how were they identified?
Well, I'm not sure I can give you that expertise kind of thing, but there is a process because the federal government, I think the president has made this a point, too, that he wants to move in this area. I'm not sure I can answer that to give you the exact...
But there are some specific criteria.
There are some criteria that are developed, and rather than attempt it, I would prefer that I get that information to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, on the subject of literacy, still, people always talk about computer literacy, and I think you've been one who has been outspoken saying that all this push for computer literacy is really at least not the priority in your mind.
Well, I think that computers are going to play a central part in our lives, and I believe that students do need to be knowledgeable about them. But the technology is changing so rapidly that I think a general piece of education is more effective about that. Now the basic premise that I think you need to build a good educational system is a good liberal arts educational program where you can compute, you can read, you do know about the history of the society, you do know the fundamentals of science and so forth. The computer will change and you can train people on computers, and the computers can be used to assist people in learning, and I think that we ought to do that. But I think we've got to be careful that we just don't become faddish about it. I think it ought to be a central era where we work with young people and understanding the computers and learning how to become literate on them, but it ought not to be the central feature of the schools. I still think that a good basic education is key.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you had the money right now, would you put a computer in every classroom?
We are doing some things. What we're doing is working on two basic premises, and we will be giving some grants this year. One is to develop software and to develop training modules for teachers and administrators in computer use and recommending ways that they can do that. And one of the problems is the kind of software that you have. For example, if you are able to develop the software for instructional programs, because you can learn to compute and read on computers as well. So that's our step, and we'll be giving some grants to region parts of the state to do those kinds of things. The other area that we'll be looking at in the technology is how we use cable television effectively in the learning process. We'll be hopefully granting to each school district that's wired in cable an instructional program that they can move and can supplement, because I don't believe television can do the whole job, where they can supplement the curriculum. It's called ITV. So we are looking at technology, how best we can use technology in schools, and a goodly number of schools in Michigan are very sophisticated in the computer. I believe Michigan, there was a survey recently, Michigan's 10th or 11th in the nation in terms of computers, use of computers in the classroom.
Mm-hmm. Well, some people are concerned that some of the rich school districts have these computers, and the poor school districts, you know, once again, and the gap will widen.
I think that's an excellent point. I believe it's a valuable point, and I think we've got to be sure that any state initiatives try to equalize that so that districts that have less resources are able to do that. And that would be one of my goals, and if we were to move into the purchasing of computers, we are not now. There will be coming forth soon, and the Congress has passed, and the President has now signed a science and math bill that will bring some money to Michigan, and some of that will be used for computers. What we found is under a federal program called Chapter 2, where monies go directly to local schools, a goodly amount of those dollars are being used to buy and purchase computers.
Mm-hmm. Some people have said that, you mentioned the thing about it, you don't want it to be faddish. Some years back, maybe 15 years ago, everyone was buying televisions for the classroom, and they ended up gathering dust and unplugged. And
that's why I think you've got to have the training of teachers and a well-thought-out plan how you're going to utilize a computer in a school district. Hopefully now, some of those TVs can be broken out that are gathering dust and to be used for instruction.
For your cable system.
That's for cables and so forth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. 355-WKAR is our phone number. If you have a question or comment on Michigan public schools or education issues in general, Philip Runkel is with us, the state superintendent of public instruction, director of the Michigan Department of Education. 355-WKAR is our number. We were talking about teachers, maybe not knowing how to use the computers. Many adults, there are some kids in school which know more than their parents already about that. But just the question of teachers and teacher competence in general is also, I'm sure, a concern to you. Now, I think we have, I don't know if all school districts have it, but don't they have competency tests for teachers, and has that been mandated on the state level yet?
Let's kind of look at what has happened nationally in Michigan. Well, one of the issues in Michigan has been the declining enrollment issue. And what we've had over the last decade, we've lost about 500,000 students, and with that comes a reassignment of teachers. And many times teachers have been teaching subject matter at the high school, and then they'll be reassigned to a middle school in a minor or an area they may not have content background. That's one of our concerns. So what we're looking at now at the state level, and there's legislation introduced, and we have a certification code commission to look at middle school certification and dealing with content. The Michigan does not have a competency-based test for teachers. There is, I believe, legislation that's been introduced on that. I think it's I think some merit might be for be considered, though I'm not sure that a test is a way to really measure a teacher's skills. It does measure their competency base. For new people entering the field, there may be some measure for that, to be sure that they have the content area. But I would think that once you've hired people that are there now, that they ought not to have to go back to that process.
Mm-hmm. It could be grandfathered in.
Well, what it does, either the Educational Testing Service has a teacher a test. I think we're going to be addressing that issue in the legislature next time. Whether it will pass, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't sound like you're behind the idea anyway.
Well, the long-range idea is how you develop a professional development for teachers so they have continued upgrading. You see, we have a rather rapid change in the technology, that teachers' knowledge base, and we have to develop ways so they can keep up. And we have a professional development program in Michigan. I'd like to see it expanded. Which help teachers improve their professional skills, knowledge in the content area, and that seems to me to be the real key. A test is only a quick fix, a long-range kind of idea of how you continually train teachers to, and we need to join hands with business and others in bringing that about.
Mm-hmm. You haven't said anything about teacher pay, but many people say that the brain drain in this entire profession has to deal with pay. The smarter people just aren't going into teaching anymore.
I think two things have happened, what we've had is, because there hasn't been jobs, people haven't been going in because we've had a decline in enrollment. Now, we had a report, a national report last week called the RAND report that certainly discussed a teacher shortage by the end of this decade. I agree with those conclusions. And what has happened is the number of people that have been entering the profession have been dropping rather rapidly. We've got to find ways to either promote a new kind of recruitment program. That means we've got to be able to develop some strategies where we can attack that brain drain problem, where we either give student loans or forgiveness of loans to people that come in, that we develop ways to attract the best for a period of time, that we develop cooperative programs with business and industry and others as well.